I want to share a few things from the Word, but and maybe just as a way to sort of set this up. I talked last week about the ascension of Jesus and looking specifically at how significant Jesus' ascension is for us and how we actually don't really in our Western church culture celebrate the ascension of Jesus. Have you thought about that? We have a celebration for his incarnation at Christmas. We celebrate his crucifixion and sacrifice for us on Good Friday, his resurrection on Easter. And as good Pentecostals, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday 50 days later. But there was something significant that happened in between his resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, his ascension, which is his most ultimate work. And you may not know, but the church for many years celebrated this, and the Orthodox Church has a celebration called the Feast of the Ascension, which is in May next year. I think maybe we should do our own little Feast of the Ascension next year. I think that would be pretty cool. But something that we don't celebrate, we're actually going to lack a little bit of understanding of the significance and the meaning of. But I want to read the same passage of Scripture that we read last week, and I'll really focus in on a different part of this passage. If you missed last week's message, you can catch the podcast. Psalm 24, beginning in verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. David, in this psalm, is laying out God's rightful ownership over all of creation because he is the one who created it all. Verse 3, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. What beautiful promises and what an amazing invitation to ascend into the presence of God. Verse 7. This, of course, being David's prophetic declaration of the moment Jesus entered heaven and this exchange of angelic beings crying out in response to Jesus coming to into the presence of God and approaching heaven. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So today we're going to talk about ascending with Christ. And I want to share a few things around a very significant transition God is bringing us into, a new identity that he's giving us as a church. And then I'll pull out a few things from this passage pretty briefly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have been with us as we've been gathering. Thank you for your presence. And Lord, we just want to humble ourselves before you before we go any further and say that, Jesus, you are the chief shepherd of the church. Lord, we recognize we're all going to stand before you and give an account for our lives. Lord, we behold both your kindness and your severity. Lord, your severity gives context to just how amazing it is that we are invited into your presence. So Lord, help us to value that today. Help us to treasure that. God, give new insight to us by a spirit of revelation to understand this life that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as many of you know, some of you probably don't, we began 2024 with some of the most confronting and challenging news that I've ever received in ministry. We had to, as a church, go through a season of grief and a season of healing. But when I look back on that season, this was February, March, the presence of God over that those next 6 weeks was, I mean, we had some of the most amazing encounters with God in our Sunday gatherings. There was just this desperation and brokenness in our hearts and this great sense of the fear of the Lord, an overwhelming sense of His holiness. And it was so beautiful as God was navigating us through that season, helping us to grieve and speaking to us about His holiness. And it was like He was saying, you know, I know this season is really intense, but I want you to know that I am always with you in the valley. Oftentimes, God draws the nearest and the closest to us in our darkest moments. I love that passage. He draws near to the brokenhearted. But I had that Sunday that we made this announcement, it was the second Sunday of February, I was walking into the auditorium where we have our had our meeting over in Bentley, and I can still picture it, walking in, and I heard the Word of God in my spirit as clearly as I've ever heard, and one of the most memorable things that I've ever heard Him say to me. He said, "Today I put a new mantle upon you." A mantle in Scripture speaks of authority, anointing, and I felt that obviously the Lord was speaking to me in that moment, but it wasn't just a mantle, an authority, a grace, an anointing for me. I felt it was something for our church. And I didn't actually know exactly what He meant by that. I assumed what the Lord was saying in the moment was, I'm giving you something in this season that you really need, a greater grace to care for and shepherd God's people through this season and the challenges of this season, and a grace upon the church to actually grow and get stronger and get better through that. But the next month, over March, I began to ponder a little bit more deeply about what that word might have meant. And I began to consider the possibility that what God was actually saying in that moment was He was calling us as a church to come out from the covering of Pneuma. Now, from a biblical and theological perspective, what I really began to think through was the biblical pattern of planting churches. Anytime churches were planted, apostolic people were sent out, and Paul, in his covering of other apostolic people, would say things to, like, Timothy and to Titus, for example, to, in these churches that have been planted, set in elders and set in overseers in each of those local churches. And I began thinking about how really the most healthy form of the government and governance of a local church is when there are people within the family who are empowered with real authority to lead and to shepherd and to cover God's people. And for a season, I think the connection we had to Pneuma was really very helpful in us getting off the ground. But I just began pondering, is this what the Lord is saying? We had really no intention of running away from the challenges that we were facing. I didn't actually feel any concern about or problem with bearing the reproach of having the name Pneuma, right? Like, that didn't bother me. Like, I welcome whatever can be, you know, to whatever's going to increase the humility and the desperation, right? It's all good. But we began to seek the Lord, and we did a 21-day fast in March. And I came into that fast asking some of these questions of the Lord. And all I heard Him say at the end of that fast was, just wait and watch what I do. Now, that wasn't exactly the word I was looking for, you know, to wait. But we did wait, and we began to dream and discuss what might the future look like. But it was very important for me because I have a very close relationship with our now interim senior leader in Pneuma, Raph Solomon. It was important for me to bring him in on this process very early on. So we began having conversations and talking through some of these things. Pastor Raph has been one of my dearest friends and probably one of, if not the greatest pastor that I've ever had. Like, he's truly been integral in helping to launch us back into God's calling upon our life and love him deeply. So we wanted to bring him along on that journey and talk through and submit these things to him. We began to feel probably a little more strongly about this in May. I felt I was in a moment of worship and meditation, just thinking about the greatness of Jesus, and this name dropped into my spirit. And I felt it was the name, that the identity that God was giving us as a church. And I didn't share it with anyone. I didn't even tell Olivia about it for a whole month. I just praying on it, thinking about it, considering it, pondering it. Is this really? Because once you put it out there, like you're kind of going there, right? And so a month passes, and this is just getting stronger in my heart. And so I share, I'm like, Livs, I need to share this with you. And so I share with her this name, and like immediately, like her spirit leapt, and there was this sense, man, this is our identity. This is who God's calling us to be. So being at this point really convinced, we still journeyed and for several more months, and then in August began to have some really clear conversations about taking some practical steps towards what this might look like. And we began in the background setting up a new entity as a church, all the things that would be required for a church in Australia to have bank accounts and operate as a church. And then about 4 weeks ago, I was in a meeting with Pastor Raff, and we began to lay out a timeline. And he went away and submitted that to the global leadership team and came back, and we all agreed together that it was God's will for us to transition into becoming an autonomous ACC church and to receive this new identity that God was giving us. Now, anytime we're in a situation like this, it can be a bit of a challenge sometimes to process, right? It's like to get your head. I remember when our second born, Sophia, was born. We had Nathan, and we found out. We did the 20-week ultrasound. We found out we're having a boy. We named him, and we're talking to him. And it was, you know, you develop this rapport with your kid before he even comes out of the womb, right? And you come out, and it's like, there he is. We've been talking to him and praying for him. And so then we're like, well, Olivia gets pregnant again. And it's like, well, let's try it different this time. Let's not find out. Let's be surprised. So me being the prophetic giant that I am, I was convinced we were having a little boy, you know? So I was like all prepared and excited about having a little boy. And then this little girl comes out. And it was like, what's happening right now? And it took a little time to process. But when you receive something that is clearly a gift from the Lord, it doesn't take too long, right, to just engage deeply. And so, it, you know, for some of us, there may be a similar sort of process for us in this. But when we know there is an identity that's from the Lord, then we can embrace it. So the name that really inspired, or the verse that really inspired this, is this passage of Scripture that I read. And the name that I believe God has given us, and I'm convinced that God has given us moving forward, is Ascend Church. Ascend Church. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? It's a name that not only speaks of our passionate pursuit of the presence of God, but it also reminds us of who Jesus is. Jesus is not now on a cross. He's not now in a grave. He is not walking the earth. He is the risen and ascended one. He is the one where something happened in his glorification, where there was a difference in the way that his disciples related to him. John falling down on his face in worship before Jesus, overcome, overwhelmed in the book of Revelation by this picture of his glory. Again, if you missed my message last week on the ascension of Jesus, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. Of course, everybody loves a little bit of merch, right? I think we've got some t-shirts here. Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully we can get those printed in the next couple of weeks. But in a moment, I want to share with you, just introduce you to and let you know who is on our board for this next year, just so you know who's really walking through this season alongside us and serving us in this way. But before I do, I wanted to show you a video that Pastor Raph sent through. So can we just roll this video?
Hey, Jason and Olivia and Numa Purse family. We just want to take a moment as Numa family to celebrate with you God's next for you. We are so cheering you on. We want to commend you publicly for your journey of faith and for the mantle that has come upon you. We want to say, Jason and Olivia, you have conducted yourselves with incredible humility and incredible honor. And the way that you have involved us as covenant family in everything that God was doing, we could only speak well of. We're not sad. We are so glad of the mantle that has come upon you, has come upon your church. And we are so expectant for everything that God is going to do through you to the glory of his name. Perth will never be the same again. Nations will be touched because of Ascend Church. We do want to speak the word of the Lord over you. We feel like God has spoken out of Deuteronomy chapter 28 over you, that you're going to be blessed, and the blessings of God for you as a leadership team, for you as a church, are going to overtake you, that there's going to be provision where it says that your basket and your kneading bowl shall be blessed. There's going to be incoming supplies from heaven, outgoing on behalf of heaven, that the Lord will fight your enemies. They'll come against you one way, spiritual enemies. However, you're going to be a spiritually strong church, full of the discernment of the Lord. The wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit shall fill you, and your enemies shall flee from before you. Most importantly, the Lord says that he's going to bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. God is giving you a land to inherit for the glory of his name, to raise up sons and daughters and generations to come for the honor of his name. So we want you to know your Numa family is right behind you. We bless you in the name of Jesus as you fill Perth and beyond with the glory of God. We love you, and we're going to see you in Ascend Church. God bless you.
Oh, who loves Pastor Raph? What a legend. Love that man so much. I want to just call our attention back to this passage, Psalm 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? It's he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. As I was receiving, in a sense, this picture, this vision of a church that was called Ascend, there were all of these theological distinctives that were coming, dropping into my heart, where I was beginning to see the significance of Jesus' ascension and the significance of what it means for us. And I spoke about this a bit last week, but I just want to run through quickly these things. The first being, and when we think of this name, what it should remind us of is our call to surrender wholly and fully to Jesus. This is the first thing that should provoke us when we think of the glory of the risen Christ. His ascension is, if this man is who he says he is, who died for our sins, rose from the dead, and ascended to heaven, then he deserves everything. Everything. And my whole journey of coming to Christ in that moment of salvation for me was me counting the cost. Am I really willing to give everything to Jesus? Am I willing to go look my friends in the eyes and say, the ones I was getting high with every day, and say, no, I'm not. I'm now serving Jesus. Jesus is most important in my life. We surrender fully to him. The second thing is we rest in Christ's righteousness. The thing I love about this passage is the question, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. There's only one who ever had clean hands and a pure heart who could ascend the hill of the Lord on his own merit. And he is the one, the first man, the God-man, to enter heaven, making a way for us. The first man into the presence of God, who takes a seat on the throne and becomes our mediator, our high priest, our intercessor, and the one to whom we look as the basis of our right to come into the presence of God. And so we never approach God relationally on the basis of our performance. We never need to wonder, am I qualified to come into the presence of God? Am I qualified to talk to Jesus? Because the short answer is, no, I'm not qualified in and of myself, but Jesus has made me righteous. He who knew no sin became sin on my behalf that I might become the righteousness of God. I am now righteous because of Christ's finished work, and my trust in him has imputed his righteousness to me. And so I just boldly come without any concern of my performance. But third, we have a desire to grow in purity. If we've truly been born again, faith is accompanied by repentance. There is a desire to be different, to live differently. I've told the story. The first time my buddy came over to get me high, I initially said, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm serving Jesus now. And then a dumb thing to say, come on in, mate. You let's hang out. And I was like, you can go ahead and get high. It's cool. I'll just hang out with you. Well, of course, I felt a little tempted. I got high with him. And he leaves. But guess who shows up? The Holy Spirit. And he says, son, that cannot be a part of your life anymore if you're going to serve me. And amazingly, where previously I sometimes did some good things, but mostly had a desire to do bad. And even the good things I did out of selfish motive. Then I come to Christ. He changes me from the inside out. And then I just want to give him my best. I want to, out of my gratitude for him saving me, I want to just live a life that pleases him. And the greatest motivation for us is found right here in Psalm 24. Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands. Well, Jesus has made our hands clean, but also a pure heart. There's a positional righteousness that we have that brings us bold, that gives us bold access into God's presence. But there is a progressive outworking of purity that brings us into an abiding and a union and an experiential relationship with Jesus that is just immeasurably beautiful and wonderful. I love this passage in the Psalms. The secret of the Lord, or intimacy with the Lord, is reserved for those who fear him. When we grow in the fear of the Lord and in our longing for his presence, we're just motivated. We're not trying to fix our life so that God will accept this. We don't know. He's already accepted us. We're trying to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, purify our hearts, that we might just ascend right into his presence, that we can just experience, practice his presence every moment of every day. Fourth, our name should remind us that we believe for miracles. All things are possible for those who believe, because we have been not only made alive together with Christ, but we've been raised up and we too have ascended with him. We have been seated with Christ in heavenly places where he is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. We're in a place of authority with Jesus in Christ over every demonic spirit, over everything that assails our lives. So we don't look at our circumstances and say, oh, that must be the will of God. We embrace his sovereignty. We embrace the reality that he's causing everything to work together for his good. But we also embrace our personal responsibility to believe and to cultivate faith in our hearts and to lay hold of God's promises by faith. So we meditate on his word. We speak the word. When the report comes to the doctor, we go to the Lord and say, Jesus, what do you want to say to me about this? I'm not listening to the doctor. I want to hear what you have to say about this. And you go to the passages of scripture, you meditate on all the Bible verses on healing. And as you're meditating, you wait for that moment when the rhema word drops in your heart and Jesus says, you are healed in Jesus' name. Well, he just says it. He doesn't need to say in Jesus' name. He says, you are healed. Receive my healing. And you're just like, yes, Lord, all right, it's mine. Even when there's symptoms, even when it's mine, I receive it. I'm pregnant with it. Whatever the circumstances is, we don't look at our bank balance, We live by faith. We take the limitations off and we think about the future and we dream and we envision what's possible, because anything's possible for God. And all things are possible for those who believe. The next thing that this name should remind us of is that if we want to go higher, we got to first go lower. I was at a conference our revival conference 2 years ago, and I was in this moment of worship, very powerful sense of God's presence. I'm crying out to God, God, I need you to take me higher, take me higher, take me higher. It's like I was just longing for God's presence. And I heard so clearly, he said, well, I need you to go lower. And so I didn't know what to do other than just get on my face in that moment. And so I just got down, just like prostrate on the floor. And I just felt, it was like this weight of God's presence that I felt like I wanted to just, it was beautiful and wonderful, but it was heavy. It was a little bit uncomfortable. And I've just felt pressed into the floor. And it was essentially what the Holy Spirit was saying, you know, if you want to go higher in me, I need you to go lower. What did Jesus say to his disciples over and over again? As they're arguing about who's the greatest. Like, we all want to be great. We all want our life to matter. We all want to ascend in life to greater things. But the pathway to our greatness is to make ourselves the lowest, to lay down our lives, to serve, to humble ourselves. I think I shared last week about how I had this prophetic word in this Bible school where this prophetic word about preaching the gospel and all this. And then the next prophetic word that came by the next guy after that was, so clean the toilets, sweep the floors, put away the chairs. And I literally went to the family I was staying with and I said, all right. And I was sharing a bathroom with two of their sons, which made it a little challenging. But I said, I want to be the one who cleans the toilet every week. Because I felt like I needed to just practically, in a real tangible way, embrace this word and try to work this thing into me, because my flesh hates to serve people. Let's just be honest. I don't want to make myself the lowest. I don't want to wash somebody's feet. What are you talking about? Another story to share there, but I'll save it for another time. Number six, our name should remind us to love what Jesus loves. The church, to love one another deeply. The ascension of Jesus marked the moment of him being returned to perfect fellowship in the Trinity. This example for us of covenantal relationship and union, and he became the one presiding over the church as the head. We, you know, you hear people say, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. Well, that's actually not possible, because the church is Jesus in the earth. We are the body of Christ. John said it this way, when we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brothers. We love the brothers and sisters. We love the people of God. There's a desire for us to be in fellowship. When I got right with God, I came into this church family, and it was so clear in my heart, these are my people now, not these people. These are my people now. Even though these are people I never would have connected with out there in the world, these are my people. God's joined me covenantally to these people. And then finally, number seven, we commit fully to the growth of God's kingdom. And I'll commit you to last week's message for that point.